Hello, ladies, and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms. I'm Sophia, and I will be reading for you today. Today is Friday, the 23rd of October, which is the 5th of Cheshvan on the Hebrew calendar. On this day in history, we can read in the Daily Bread Journal that the Jewish messianic pioneer Abram, or Abram Polyak, dies in 5724, or 1963 CE. Polyak was an Orthodox Jew born in the Ukraine. He was a musical genius and played for the Tsar at the age of 8. When he was a young man, he moved to Germany and began working as a journalist. The works of Leo Tolstoy led him to faith in Yeshua as Messiah. After being miraculously released from a Nazi prison, he migrated to Israel after the war, where he worked as a pioneer for Messianic faith in Israel and internationally. This information is from vineofdavid.org. This week's parasha is called Noach, and today's aliyah is Genesis 9:18 through 10:32. Before we start reading, though, we're going to bless the Lord and thank Him for His word. Blessed are You, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples, through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. The sons of Noach, who came out of the ark, were Shem, Ham, and Japhet. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noach, and from them came the people who were scattered over the whole earth. Noach, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japhet took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backward and covered their father's naked body. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father naked. When Noach awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves, will he be to his brothers." He also said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. May God extend Japhet's territory. May Japhet live in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be the slave of Japhet." After the flood, Noach lived 350 years. Noach lived a total of 950 years, and then he died. This is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japhet, Noach's sons, who themselves had sons after the flood. The sons of Japhet: Gomer, Magog, Madai, Yavan, Tuval, Meshek, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer: Ashkenaz, Rifat, and Togarma. The sons of Yavan: Elisha, Tarshish, the Kittites, and the Rodanites. From these, the maritime peoples spread out into their territories by their clans within their nations, each with its own language. The sons of Ham: Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush: Sheva, Havila, Shavta, Rama, and Sapteka. The sons of Rama: Sheva and Dedan. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who became a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it said, "Like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord." The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, Uruk, Akkad, and Calneh in Shinar. From that land he went to Assyria, where he built Nineveh. Rehovot Ir, Kala, and Resen, which is between Nineveh and Kala, which is the great city. Egypt was the father of the Ludites, Anamites, Lechabites, Naphutites, Patruzites, Kashluhites, and from whom the Philistines came, and Kaphtorites. Canaan was the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and of the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arkites, Sinites, Arvadites, Zemarites, and Hamathites. Later, the Canaanite clans scattered, and the borders of Canaan reached from Sidon toward Gerar as far as Gaza, and then toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, and Zeboim, as far as Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, by their clans and languages, in their territories and nations. Sons were also born to Shem, whose older brother was Japhet. Shem was the ancestor of all the sons of Ever. The sons of Shem: Elam, Ashur, Arpaksad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram, Uz, Hul, Geter, and Meshech. Arpaksad was the father of Shelach, and Shelach the father of Ever. Two sons were born to Ever. One was named Peleg because in his time the earth was divided. His brother was named Yoktan. Yoktan was the father of Almodad, Shelef, Hazar Mavet, Yera, Hadoram, Uzal, Dikla, Oval, Abimael, Sheva, Ophir, Havilah, and Yovav. All these were sons of Yoktan. The region where they lived stretched from Mesha towards Sephal in the eastern hill country. These are the sons of Shem by their clans and languages, in their territories and nations. These are the clans of Noah's sons, according to their lines of descent, within their nations. From these, the nations spread out over the earth after the flood. That was Genesis 9:18 through 10:32. Our portion from the prophets is Joshua chapter 16 and 17. The allotment for Yosef began at the Jordan, east of the springs of Jericho, and went up from there through the desert into the hill country of Bethel. It went on from Bethel, that is Luz, crossed over to the territory of the Arkites in Atarot, descended westward to the territory of the Yaphletites, as far as the region of Lower Beth Horon and on to Gezer, ending at the Mediterranean Sea. So Manasseh and Ephraim, the descendants of Yosef, received their inheritance. This was the territory of Ephraim, according to its clans. The boundary of their inheritance went from Atarot Adar in the east to Upper Beth Horon, and continued to the Mediterranean Sea. From Mikmetat on the north, it curved eastward to Ta'anat Shiloh, passing by it to Yanoah on the east. Then it went down from Yanoah to Atarot and Na'ara, touched Jericho, and came out at the Jordan. From Tapuach, the border went west to the Kana Ravine and ended at the Mediterranean Sea. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the Ephraimites, according to its clans. It also included all the towns and their villages that were set aside for the Ephraimites within the inheritance of the Manassites. They did not dislodge the Canaanites living in Gezer. To this day, the Canaanites live among the people of Ephraim, but are required to do forced labor. This was the allotment for the tribe of Manasseh as Yosef's firstborn, that is, for Machir, Manasseh's firstborn. Machir was the ancestor of the Gileadites, who had received Gilad and Bashan because the Machirites were great soldiers. So this allotment was for the rest of the people of Manasseh, the clans of Aviezer, Helek, Asriel, Shechem, Hefer, and Shemidah. These are the other male descendants of Manasseh, son of Yosef, by their clans. Now Zelophehad, son of Hefer, the son of Gilad, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but only daughters, whose names were Machla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They went to Eleazar the priest, Yehoshua son of Nun, and the leaders, and said, "The Lord commanded Moshe to give us an inheritance among our relatives." So Yehoshua gave them an inheritance along with the brothers of their father, according to the Lord's command. Manasseh's share consisted of 10 tracts of land, besides Gilad and Bashan east of the Jordan, because the daughters of the tribe of Manasseh received an inheritance among the sons. The land of Gilad belonged to the rest of the descendants of Manasseh. The territory of Manasseh extended from Asher to Mikmetat, east of Shechem. The boundary ran southward, from there to include the people living at En Tapuach. Manasseh had the land of Tapuach, but Tapuach itself, on the boundary of Manasseh, belonged to the Ephraimites. Then the boundary continued south to the Kana Ravine. There were towns belonging to Ephraim lying among the towns of Manasseh, but the boundary of Manasseh was the northern side of the ravine and ended at the Mediterranean Sea. On the south, the land belonged to Ephraim, on the north to Manasseh. The territory of Manasseh reached the Mediterranean Sea and bordered Asher on the north and Issachar on the east. Within Issachar and Asher, Menasheh also had Beit Shan, Ibleam, and the people of Dor, Endor, Taanach, and Megiddo. Together with their surrounding settlements, the third in the list is Nafot. Yet the Manassites were not able to occupy these towns, for the Canaanites were determined to live in that region. However, when the Israelites grew stronger, they subjected the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not drive them out completely. The people of Yosef said to Joshua, "Why have you given us only one allotment and one portion for an inheritance? We are a numerous people, and the Lord has blessed us abundantly." "If you are so numerous," Yeshua answered, "and if the hill country of Ephraim is too small for you, go up into the forest and clear land for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and Rephites." The people of Yosef replied, "The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the plain have chariots fitted with iron, both those in Beit Shan and its settlements and those in the valley of Yisrael." But Yeshua said to the tribes of Yosef, to Ephraim and Manasseh, "You are numerous and very powerful. You will have not only one allotment, but the forested hill country as well. Clear it, and its furthest limits will be yours. Though the Canaanites have chariots fitted with iron, and though they are strong, you can drive them out." That was Joshua chapters 16 and 17. Our next portion is from the writings, and it is Psalm 17. Hear me, Lord, my plea is just. Listen to my cry, hear my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. Though people try to bribe me, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. Through what your lips have commanded, my steps have held to your paths. My feet have not stumbled. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand, those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. They close up their callous hearts, and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down. They now surround me, their eyes alert, to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. Rise up, Lord, confront them. Bring them down. With your sword, rescue me from the wicked. By your hand, save me from such people, Lord, from those of this world whose reward is in this life. May what you have stored up for the wicked fill their bellies. May their children gorge themselves on it. And may there be leftovers for their little ones. As for me, I will be vindicated and will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. That was Psalm 17. Our next and last portion for Friday is Matthew chapter 12. At that time, Yeshua went through the grain fields on Shabbat. His disciples became hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and eat them. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not permitted on Shabbat." But he said to them, "Haven't you read what David did when he became hungry, and those with him? How he entered into the house of God, and they ate the showbread, which was not permitted for him to eat, nor for those with him, but only for the Kohanim. Or haven't you read in the Torah that on Shabbat the Kohanim in the temple break Shabbat and yet are innocent? But I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you wouldn't have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of Shabbat." Leaving from there, he went into their synagogue. A man with a withered hand was there, and so that they might accuse him, they questioned Yeshua, saying, "Is it permitted to heal on Shabbat?" He said to them, "What man among you will not grab his sheep and lift it out, if it falls into a pit on Shabbat? How much more valuable, then, is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is permitted to do good on Shabbat." Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored, as healthy as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Knowing this, Yeshua went away from there, and large crowds followed him, and he healed them all. And he sternly warned them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Here is my servant whom I chose, the one I love, in whom my soul takes delight. I will put my ruach upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A crushed reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, until he brings forth justice to victory, and in his name the nations shall hope." Then a demon-plagued man, who was blind and mute, was brought to Yeshua, and he healed him, so that he spoke and saw. All the crowds were astonished and saying, "This can't be Ben David, can it?" But hearing this, the Pharisees said, "This fellow drives out demons only by Beelzebul, the ruler of demons." Knowing their thoughts, Yeshua said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is destroyed, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons drive them out? For this reason, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Ruach Elohim, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and carry off his property, unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he will thoroughly plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. For this reason, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Ruach will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Ruach HaKodesh will not be forgiven, neither in this age nor in the one to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree rotten and its fruit rotten. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For from the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. The good man from his good treasury brings forth good, and the evil man from his evil treasury brings forth evil. But I tell you that on the day of judgment, men will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Then some of the Torah scholars and Pharisees answered him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But Yeshua replied to them, "An evil and adulterous generation clamors for a sign, yet no sign shall be given to it, except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Shlomo. And behold, something greater than Shlomo is here. Now when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, looking for rest and doesn't find it. Then it says, 'I'll go back home where I came from.' And when it comes, it finds the house vacant, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and brings along 7 other spirits more evil than itself, and they go in and live there. And that man's last condition becomes worse than the first. So also will it be for this evil generation." While Yeshua was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and brothers were standing outside, trying to speak to him. Someone said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, trying to speak to you." But to the one telling him this, Yeshua responded, "Who is my mother, and who are my brothers?" Stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." That was Matthew chapter 12. which was the last reading for Friday. If, however, you're reading the double track of Apostles this year, you would also read 2 Peter chapter 2. We are now moving on with the readings for Shabbat, the 24th of October, which is the 6th of Cheshvan on the Hebrew calendar. The last Aliyah this week is Genesis chapter 11. Now the entire earth had the same language, with the same vocabulary. When they traveled eastward, they found a valley plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them until they're hard." So they used bricks for stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower whose top reaches into heaven. So let's make a name for ourselves, or else we will be scattered over the face of the whole land." Then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the sons of man had built. The Lord said, "Look at the people who are one, and all of them have the same language. So this is what they have begun to do. Now nothing they plan to do will be impossible. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand each other's language." So the Lord scattered them from there over the face of the entire land, and they stopped building the city. This is why it is named Babel, because the Lord confused the languages of the entire world there, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the entire world. These are the genealogical records of Shem. Shem was 100 years old when he fathered Arpachshad, 2 years after the flood. Shem lived 500 years after he fathered Arpachshad, and he fathered sons and daughters. Arpachshad lived 35 years when he fathered Shelach. Arpachshad lived 403 years after he fathered Shelach, and fathered sons and daughters. Shelach lived 30 years, and he fathered Eber. Shelach lived 403 years after he fathered Eber, and fathered sons and daughters. Eber lived 34 years, and he fathered Peleg. Eber lived 430 years after he fathered Peleg, and he fathered sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years, and he fathered Reu. Peleg lived 209 years after he fathered Reu, and fathered sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years, and he fathered Serug. Reu lived 207 years after he fathered Serug, and he fathered sons and daughters. Serug lived 30 years and fathered Nahor. Serug lived 200 years after he fathered Nahor, and he fathered sons and daughters. Nahor lived 27 years and he fathered Terach. Nahor lived 119 years after he fathered Terach, and he fathered sons and daughters. Terach lived 70 years when he fathered Avram, Nahor, and Haran. These are Terah's genealogies. Terah fathered Avram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran fathered Lot. Haran died before Terah his father in the land of his birth, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Avram and Nahor took wives for themselves. The name of Avram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, father of Milcah and Iscah. Sarai was barren. She did not have a child. Terah took Avram his son and Lot, Haran's son, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Avram's wife, and he took them out of Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah's days were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. That was Genesis chapter 11. The Haftarah portion this Shabbat is Isaiah 54, verse 1 through 55 and verse 5. Sing, barren one who has not given birth. Burst into singing and shout, you who have not travailed. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married one, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your tabernacle curtains. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right hand and to the left. Your offspring will possess the nations and will resettle the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed, nor cringe, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will remember the reproach of your widowhood no more. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He will be called God of all the earth, for the Lord has called you back, like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of one's youth that is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I deserted you, but I will gather you with great compassion. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you a moment, but with everlasting kindness I have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I swore that the waters of Noah should no more cover the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. Though the mountains depart and the hills be shaken, my love will not depart from you, nor will my covenant of peace be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Afflicted one, storm-tossed, unconsoled, behold, I set your stones in antimony. Lay your foundations with sapphires, make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children will be taught by the Lord, your children will have great shalom. In righteousness you will be established, you will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. Behold, anyone fiercely attacking is not from me. Whoever stirs up strife with you will fall because of you. Behold, I created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its work, and I created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and you will condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the Lord's servants. Their vindication is from me. It is a declaration of the Lord. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the trustworthy loyalty to David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will summon a nation you do not know, and a nation that did not know you will run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. That was Isaiah 54:1-55:5. Our next and very last portion for this week is 2 Peter 3:1-14. Loved ones, this is now the second letter that I am writing to you. In both, I am trying to stir you up by way of a reminder to wholesome thinking, to remember the words previously proclaimed by the holy prophets and the commandment of our Lord and Savior through your emissaries. First of all, understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing, following after their own desires, and saying, "Where is this promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers died, everything goes on just as it has from the beginning of creation." For in holding to this idea, it escapes their notice that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water, and through water by the word of God. Through these, the world of that time was destroyed by being flooded with water. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly people. But don't forget this one thing, loved ones, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some consider slowness. Rather, he is being patient towards you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will melt and disintegrate, and the earth and everything done on it shall be exposed. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people should you be? Live your lives in holiness and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. In that day, the heavens will be dissolved by fire, and the elements will melt in the intense heat. But in keeping with his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness dwells. Therefore, loved ones, while you are looking for these things, make every effort to be found in shalom, spotless and blameless before him. That was 2 Peter 3, 1 through 14, which concludes our reading of Daily Bread for Busy Moms this week. Thank you for listening, and I wish you a blessed and peaceful and restful Shabbat with your family. I'm Sophia, and this has been Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom, until next week.